The World Evangelical Alliance, along with the Refugee Highway Partnership, have designated the Sundays on either side of June 20th as World Refugee Sundays. So we're in that season now, and your church has a little bit of a head start this morning because we're here at June 10th having an opportunity to kind of celebrate World Refugee Sunday today here at Pacific Grace MB. There are actually a number of World Refugee Day events going on in Burnaby and in Vancouver around June 19 and 20, and you can check the Vancouver and Burnaby Library websites if you're interested in participating in any of those. It was almost 3 years ago that the Western world seemed to finally become aware of the global refugee crisis, and there was an outpouring of goodwill to Syrians and to others who were coming to our land. I believe your church has been sponsoring a family, and congratulations for participating in part of that goodwill and reaching out. My concern is that all of that Canadian goodwill isn't just a short-lived emotional response to something that's present in the media, but I'm concerned that we continue to build really a welcoming lifestyle into the DNA of our church life and even of our personal Christian lives. I've been really grateful for that encouraging movement in Canada and in our churches, because the global picture is a little bit discouraging. Currently, there are about 65 million forcibly displaced people in the world today. That's one out of every 113 people have been forced out of their home, out of their town, even out of their nation. About 22 million, or a third of those, are actual refugees who've been forced out of their country into a neighboring area. So we're in a pretty unique place in world history where the world has become much smaller, and that's affected all of us. It has a lot of implications, and we see that playing out in so many ways in our world today. I believe that that's part of the reason why we see this radicalization going on that's causing so much conflict and destruction. We can have a variety of responses, even as the church, to those destructive forces going on in our world. We might think, well, let's just reject all of that radicalization and we can live in our little Canadian bubble. We can ignore the reality and we can see things as business as usual for us in our country, in our society, and even in the church. But I'm suggesting that we actually counter that conflict and destruction and that radicalization that's going on in our world with a new kind of radicalization. My hope is that the trend in global terrorism and radicalizing people to live out in violence will be matched by God's kingdom radicalization, where we move out of our comfort zone into true kingdom living. You know, I think when we look at refugees and the refugee crisis, we can have two kind of extreme responses. We can have a response of fear that says, oh, I don't know, I'm pretty hesitant about inviting all of these strangers and newcomers into our country and into my neighborhood. And sometimes we can even find affirmation for that fear and hesitancy in other Christians and in the local church and in the global church even. I say that rather than fear, we can actually see this as a word that was used earlier, opportunity. Or we can fall into the other extreme of kind of patting ourselves on the back and saying, aren't we doing a pretty good job in Canada here of reaching out? So we stand in judgment and even in a little bit of self-righteousness. Well, we're sure not as bad as our neighbor to the south. Or, you know, I'm doing a pretty good job in my neighborhood. I wish other people were doing as well as we are. So we can live in kind of either of those extremes. And I think that our proper Christian response is neither of those. It's not fear, and it's not glad-handing ourselves, but it's rather one that embraces what the God of the nation is doing. And ask him how we can be involved in his great kingdom adventure. That's what gives us purpose and meaning and fulfillment and takes us into a whole new realm of living when we join with God in his purposes. So where in Scripture do we find teaching that moves us into that kind of radical hospitality that's a kingdom value? Well, we can certainly look to the words of Jesus. We can see some great passages in Isaiah, or we can find some teaching in Paul, but how about Leviticus? How many of you do a lot of Bible reading in Leviticus? Probably not a lot of us. But if you were to start a new nation and had the opportunity to set the foundation for that new nation, how would you go about it? Well, I think that Leviticus can really be instructive because God was establishing a new nation. And in Leviticus, he's actually giving us some teaching for building a foundation for that nation. So let's pick up in Leviticus 19. And I'm going to read just a few other verses earlier on to provide some context. If you have your phone or a Bible and just want to follow along, we're going to start at the beginning of the chapter in Leviticus 19, where in verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Down in verse 9. This is all instruction, remember, for this new nation, new policy for how this nation is to operate. Verse 9, "Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, neither shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." Verse 15, "You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly." Verse 18, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Doesn't that sound familiar? "I am the Lord." And then, two verses that we want to focus on, 33 and 34. "When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you are aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." If we take one thought from today, and only one, I would like it to be this. God calls us into a radical response to refugees. God calls us into a radical response to refugees. I'm grateful for my colleague Ruth Cassidy in the Toronto area who has helped me in the preparation of this biblical and theological part of refugee ministry, the basis for that. Here, God gives direction to this newly formed nation about how to respond to the strangers who come to them and live in their midst. And I want us to notice the progression as we go through these couple of verses. There's a progression of engagement that God calls us to. He begins with basic humane treatment. Then he goes on to say, well, there's actually a position of human equality of the strangers and the natives who live in the same country and culture. And then he ends with a full biblical mandate to love the foreigners and the strangers as themselves. So first, you shall not do him wrong. This is really the entry point into engaging with strangers or newcomers who come to live among us. We respect their humanity. The image of God is stamped on all of us. God has created us in His image. And I think that the majority of Canadians would agree to this and say, yeah, it just makes a lot of sense. We don't want to do anything to intentionally harm someone. This first level of engagement with strangers isn't very onerous. Doesn't require a significant degree of commitment or much sacrifice on our part. Doesn't even require much personal involvement. We just make sure we don't do wrong to someone. It's those things that are the conditions that drive people out of their countries to come to Canada. Because someone has done them wrong and is actually seeking to ultimately destroy their lives. I think of Carlos, who came to Journey Home Community. He was a human rights lawyer in his country. And he and his family began to receive threats when he stood up to the corrupt political and security systems in his nation on behalf of the little guy who was struggling. I think of Samia, who was converted to Christianity and had to worship secretly in her country. And when things began to heat up, she had to flee, and she came and became part of our community. I think of Pedro, who was a successful businessman, and he and his family and his children were targeted for extortion. That's what drove them out of their country. Well, often these people can't appeal to authorities for protection due to the corrupt police and security system. Those kinds of situations don't happen much on a widespread basis in Canada, but they happen in other nations, and so people are fleeing. But before we congratulate ourselves too quickly and say Canada is a great nation for protection because we treat everybody humanely and fairly, I'd like to draw our attention to the MV Sunsea ship that arrived in our Vancouver harbor 8 years ago. And all of those Tamil families, 492 people on that ship in our Vancouver harbor, were immediately detained and imprisoned because we were a little nervous about these strangers that were coming to us. Was that fair? Was it humane and just to put all of those families and children into prison because we were a little uncertain of their identity? Should we as Christians have been standing up to that kind of treatment in our city? I think of one of those families, the first family that was released from detention and came to Journey Home. A woman who was pregnant, had war wounds, fleeing the bombing of their home. They were Tamil people, yes, but not Tamil Tiger terrorists. However, God's mandate goes far beyond that minimal level of engagement and leads us to new heights and depths as we seek to fathom God's heart for the stranger. For he says next, "The stranger shall be to you as the native among you." Oh. Well, that command pushes us forward in our engagement with strangers, doesn't it? Now we're being asked to extend the same rights and privileges that we enjoy as Canadian-born or Canadian citizens who have become that. Here we have movement toward connection, relationship. And I'm proud that we offer newly arriving refugees basically the same financial safety net as impoverished Canadians in the form of income assistance. Not all countries do that. And we've reached out and said, yes, we understand that